Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face. She and her expert guests the answers that you seek. Now, here's your host, Randy Rolfe.
Hello, and welcome to Family First. I'm your host, Randy Rolfe, and I'm very excited about today's show. I want to thank you all for listening. We have over 47,000 listeners every month now and growing every month, so thank you. We are really trying to put out the kind of information you're not getting from mainstream media about healthy relationships, wellness, and family, how to build healthy families that will make a healthier world. So today we're going to be talking about our adrenaline nation, the effects of stress on our lives, and what to do about it. So do you or someone close to you sometimes feel that you're never quite enough or don't quite measure up? Most Americans feel bombarded by constant messages that they have to work harder, learn more, be better to get what they want in life. My guest today is Peter M. McCarthy. He's the author of the new book, Adrenaline Nation. And he knows firsthand, as being an Air Force pilot and a pilot with Southwest Airlines, what stress can do. But it was seeing all the health problems among his loved ones that led him to discover what stress is doing to all of us and affecting our whole nation. He's dedicated himself to revealing how stress is not only making us sick, but bankrupting our economy. McCarthy earned his doctorate in traditional naturopathy from Trinity College of Natural Health. He's president of the Texas Complementary and Alternative Medicine Association and chair of the Texas Health Freedom Coalition, the nation's largest state-level grassroots natural health advocacy network. He's board certified as a traditional naturopath, and he's a sought-after professional in the field of complementary and alternative medicine, often called CAM. He's CEO of AHI Productions, a media company which is creator of NHN TV, the planet's first television network solely devoted to natural health and green living, news, education, and entertainment. He's a past member of the advisory committee of the American Naturopathic Certification Board. He graduated from the U.S. Air Force Academy in 1972 with a bachelor's in engineering mechanics and an Air Force commission as a second lieutenant. A 20-year military veteran, he's earned his master's in management and supervision from Central Michigan University while on active duty. He then became a captain first officer for Southwest Airlines and later retired in 2009. During the 80s and 90s, his interest in naturopathy developed as he saw the impact of stressors on the health of those around him. And now he and his wife, Nancy, live in Austin, Texas, and have three grown children. So welcome to Family First, Peter. I'm delighted to have you here.
Thank you, Randy. It's great to be on the show with you today.
Great. So I've read your wonderful book, Adrenaline Nation, and I want to start out by asking you, why did you decide to write this book? There's lots of health books out there, and our health system is broken, but you've put it all together in a special way. So what inspired you to write this book?
Well, you alluded to part of it as you were reading my biography, and thank you very much for that. The common thread that I've had throughout most of my adult life, through my life with my family and extended family, through my experience in the Air Force and later in the airline industry, is that I began to see, starting in the early 1980s and then continuing on to the present day, the effects of chronic stress and the outgrowth of chronic stress, as in chronic and degenerative illness, on first my family and extended family, then my fellow crew members and the men I commanded in the Air Force, as well as their families, of course, and then finally my fellow crew members in the airline industry, as well as the passengers we served. There was a common thread there, and it was chronic stress. And it really caused me to look outside of the standard stress or the standard understanding of the stress paradigm. As you mentioned just a moment ago, there are many books out there, literally thousands of titles about how to beat stress and take this pill or do this procedure or meditation and you're going to feel better. But up until this point in time, nobody really connected the dots between stress, illness, what's wrong with our healthcare system, and how we can change things at all levels of society. And that was the goal that I had for Adrenaline Nation. It was what motivated me to ultimately write Adrenaline Nation.
I see. You did an awful lot of research to be able to connect all those dots, because many would assume that these were different. Okay, what do you do with mental stress, and what do you do with nutrition, and how do you detox your house, and how do you get along better with your boss? Nobody had really pulled that all together the way you have. So tell us, what is stress?
Well, you know, it's really interesting when I researched that question, and as you know, Randy, that was the first question that I answered in Adrenaline Nation.
Yes.
I looked across the healthcare community, the research literature, across the business community. I looked at sources like Wikipedia, and you know, what I found was the definition of stress was, first of all, unique to each individual who was commenting on it. And it was literally like each individual was looking at the corner of a big painting and trying to figure out what the painting was about from just looking at that corner. But in doing my research, I was able to find some common elements. And what I finally hit on was the definition of stress is any stimulus that activates the body's fight-flight response, as well as the results of that stimulus. And that tracks very closely with some of the literature that has been produced by the leading stress researchers over the years, starting with Dr. Hans Selye back in the mid-1930s.
Yes, I read his work a long time ago, and it just made so much sense all of a sudden that the body has this reaction to anything that demands a change or an adjustment. So what are some of the components of stress?
Well, as you know, I created a new stress management model, a qualitative model that I call the stress stack, that delineates the different categories of stress that we Americans in our 21st century society experience every day. And they are dietary influences, the foods and beverages that cause stress, lifestyle influences like driving in rush hour traffic, sleep deprivation, dealing with your boss perhaps, the cognitive filter, the mix of physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual inputs that determines the prism through which we view the world and therefore how we react to stress. The nutritional gap, the difference between what our bodies get on a daily basis and what they really need to be able to sustain a healthy stress response. Toxic influences, chemical, biological, radiological. And then there's that trigger factor that some unfortunate people that we may know ourselves in this society who experience that seminal event like an automobile accident, the death of a family member, maybe the loss of a job in this economy, that kicks their body over the edge and causes them to descend into overt illness. And so all of those in total comprise the stress stack.
Awesome. Yeah, I want to look at each of them individually, but I really appreciated that you separated the dietary from nutrition. And people usually think that that's the same lump, but you pointed out there are things that are completely alien to the body that we do that are truly toxic. And then there's the problem of not having enough of the things we should have in our nutrition. So I like that you separated those two. And I love the stack idea that makes it so visual, that qualitative stress analysis. So thank you for that. So what are the major characteristics, would you say, of this stress stack that you have pictured so well in the book?
Well, thank you. Well, there's four major characteristics of the stress stack that everybody has to deal with. Number one, the stress stack is unique. You know, I'm sitting here in Austin, Texas, right down the street from the University of Texas, where back in the 1950s, the respected biochemist Roger J. Williams wrote a book that showed that everybody was unique biochemically. So the stress that they experience is also unique. Then it's dynamic. You know, we drive in rush hour traffic 5 days a week, but we don't drive in it on the weekends. So the stress stack is constantly in motion in terms of what factors are operating at any given point in our lives. It's cumulative. If we don't take the steps on in addressing all six blocks of the stress stack to either eliminate or alleviate those stressors in our lives, that the effects of that stress builds up. And then finally, it's holistic. And now, I don't mean that from the standpoint of holistic health care or anything like that. I mean it from the standpoint that you can't take a magic bullet approach to dealing with stress. You have to look at all of the blocks of your personal stress stack and individually address each of those blocks in order to make a meaningful difference in your level of stress and ultimately your state of health.
That's great. Those are really, really important points. And Roger Williams is one of my favorites, so I'm so happy you mentioned him. And I didn't realize he was from the University of Texas. That's awesome. So we're all unique, but physiologically, we all react to stress because of these different factors. It's changing, it accumulates, and we can't use a magic bullet to get rid of it, like just start medication or take more vitamin C. That if we need a more complete approach. So what are some of the major dietary influences in the stress stack?
Well, Randy, I like to call them all the usual suspects. And I've had occasion on more than once in dealing with clients in my own consulting practice of when I talk about them, they say, oh, gee, you've taken away all the good stuff. And what I mean by that is, first of all, caffeine, that's a direct adrenal gland stimulant, and that's significant because the adrenal glands are the major regulators and managers of our body's stress response. There's processed sugar and white flour, and they act very similarly in the body in that they dump a huge amount of glucose into the bloodstream, requiring the body to implement a significant number of changes to deal with that influx of glucose, but then just as quickly that blood sugar drops. And we've all had that experience where it goes up like a rocket but then comes down really fast. Then there's trans fats, and trans fats are significant because they actually compete at the cellular level with some of the most critical nutrients that our body needs to deal with stress effectively. And unfortunately, trans fats outcompete those nutrients, so they can detrimentally impact the stress response. And then finally, artificial sweeteners. And we could spend a whole program on the effects of artificial sweeteners, but just briefly, they affect your digestion, they help you actually to gain weight, and they have a very detrimental impact on your neurochemistry, which means your mood, how you process things, how you think, even how your central nervous system operates. So all of those are dietary influences that detrimentally impact your stress.
Yes, I'll mention the artificial sweeteners in particular, that they came into use in the 60s, and my mother thought she was always watching her weight, and she used them in everything. And after about 30 years, she started getting very serious side effects. And we eventually just went through her pantry and took out everything that had aspartame in it. And 2/3 of the foods in her pantry had aspartame in them. And as soon as we removed them from her diet, all those side effects went away. And within 2 weeks, her skin cleared and she felt better. And it's toxic. It's dangerous.
Yes, it is.
What are some of the major lifestyle influences that you describe in the stress stack?
Well, you know, that's probably the biggest category numerically, Randy, because people, depending upon their occupation, where they live, where they work, will have a unique mix of those lifestyle influences. But some of the most prevalent are, as I mentioned, driving and rush hour traffic. If you live in or near a major metropolitan area and you have to drive to and from work, chances are over a typical 40-year working lifetime, you're going to experience about 20,000 rush hour events. And many, if not most of those, have the potential of causing stress. The other thing might I mentioned earlier, of course, was relationships, and it can be family relationships, it can be work relationships with your coworkers, with your boss. You know, I had the benefit of my 20 years in the Air Force of working with some very inspirational leaders, but I also had the misfortune of working for a handful that were hardly inspirational. And I can tell you that the difference between the two was very marked, and the latter caused me and my coworkers quite a bit of stress. But I think perhaps one of the biggest factors in our lifestyle today in America is sleep deprivation. And we've heard for decades from the health authorities, you need 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. And that advice is still good today, but we've convinced ourselves, because we have access to the aforementioned caffeine and processed sugar and white flour, so-called energy foods, that we can stay up till all hours of the night playing video games, watching television, surfing the internet, and we can just down a caffeinated beverage and maybe a sticky bun the next day, and we're good to go. Well, that's an illusion that many of us have operated under for many years, and ultimately we pay a price for that.
Exactly. That's amazing that, especially more stress in these economic times, people are working extra hours, kids are working harder because they're afraid they're not going to get a job. We're coming up on a break now, Peter, and we're speaking with Peter M. McCarthy, who is a traditional naturopath and has written a wonderful book called Adrenaline Nation, How Stress is Ruining Our Health and Bankrupting Our Economy and What We Can Do About It. So we are covering some of the great concepts in the book, that he's really created a stress stack that you can look at your life and see where the stress is coming from and realize that you have choices to make. These aren't just, traffic isn't just inevitable that your blood pressure is going to rise, or it's not inevitable that you're not going to get enough sleep. So we'll be back in a couple of seconds and a couple of minutes, it is, with Peter McCarthy.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Hello and welcome back. We're speaking about our Adrenaline Nation with Peter M. McCarthy, who's written the book called Adrenaline Nation. And it's about how chronic stress is ruining our health and bankrupting our economy. And we've been talking about a wonderful qualitative analytical tool that he developed called the Stress Stack. And basically the six different areas we need to look at where our body's getting cumulative stress. And for each of us, it's unique, but it's cumulative. It's changing every day, and we can't just throw one pill or one strategy at it. We need to be aware of the cumulative effect and do something about it. So we were just talking about the dietary influences like caffeine and too much sugar and white flour and trans fats. We've also talked about lifestyle influences and rush hour traffic, relationship issues with in-laws or kids or bosses, and also sleep deprivation, which is a growing problem. I've talked to three people in the last 2 days who've been diagnosed with sleep apnea, and another three people who say they can live on 4 hours of sleep, but they drink caffeine all day. So let's move on, Peter, to the cognitive filter. And I think that's a wonderful concept. I'd love you to explain it for us.
Sure. Thank you, Randy. The cognitive filter is perhaps the most influential component of the stress stack in that it combines all of the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual influences that create what I like to call the prism through which we view the world, and that therefore determines our reaction to stress. And you know, it has so many varied components to it. It can be, you know, how our musculoskeletal system works and what limitations that entails. It can be how our endocrine system functions. It can be how our family upbringing impacts how we think about things and how we react to certain situations. Later on in the book, I talk about the ruts in the road that cognitive filter develops that are habitual habit patterns that we develop for coping with stressful situations. And all of that really determines how we react to any given set of stressors that impact our lives, our daily lives, and ultimately our state of health.
That makes a lot of sense. So it involves messages from your parents, from your school, from your religious mentor. So how you perceive what's in front of you, basically, right?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, you brought up something that I think in this society is somewhat overlooked, and that's the spiritual influence on your cognitive filter. And when I was talking about that in Adrenaline Nation, and I discuss it quite in depth, I don't mean necessarily a religious practice or a particular set of religious beliefs, but spirituality in the broader sense of being connected in a much larger sense to the world around you and how you interact with that world. You know, so it can, a spiritual practice can therefore be, yes, going to church, but it can also be meditation, it can be walking in nature, it can be whatever it is that allows you to connect with the world around you. And so many people who have confuse spirituality with religion and therefore have intentionally decided that they're not going to participate in any way, sometimes, very frequently actually, find themselves feeling very isolated as they're dealing with these other sets of stressors. And that isolation in itself can be a stressor, to the point where back in 07, Discover Magazine showed in one of their top 100 science stories that isolation actually results in an impaired stress response and can increase the likelihood of illness.
Yeah, I saw an article recently to that effect with older people in nursing homes that the ones that had the most health problems reported feeling isolated and unconnected. And we are social beings. We're supposed to be involved, and the spiritual side, as you say, it's how we relate to the rest of the world beyond our control. So, yeah, that's a real important thing to include in that stack. So, what's the nutritional gap? That next block in the stress stack.
Well, you did a great job of differentiating for our listeners the difference between dietary influences and the nutritional gap. And the nutritional gap, as I define it, is the difference between what you eat on a daily basis and what your body actually needs to be able to sustain a healthy stress response. And, you know, we've heard for years the medical community and the dietetics community recite the mantra of eat a balanced diet and you don't have to take vitamins. Well, there's a lot of politics behind that, and that would be another show in and of itself, very honestly. But the short answer is, when you look at the survey data that's been conducted nationally, at best, 1 in 5 people say they eat a balanced diet. And remember, that's consumer reporting or self-reporting. So the actual numbers are probably much lower. And some other surveys think that less than 1% of the population eats a balanced diet. So virtually everybody has a nutritional gap. And they need to fill that gap in the case of dealing with chronic stress with therapeutic doses of vitamin C, vitamin B, essential fatty acids, primarily the omega-3s, and trace minerals like magnesium that help the body sustain itself under stress.
Yeah, I've been teaching that forever. We've been taking a great number of supplements, even though we eat organic and cook from scratch. We know that the earth that they grow the things in, even if it's organic, it's been depleted for a century, and plus our stress level is higher. So there's some things we need more than our ancestors needed. So what are some of the toxic influences in the stress stack? And that could be a whole nother show, I know.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I divide them up into chemical, biological, and radiological. And the chemical, I think, can be summarized by the fact that the Environmental Protection Agency has released 500,000 warnings regarding the safe handling of toxic chemicals in our society. And that number of toxic chemicals increases by about 5,000 annually. So we're literally surrounded by these potential toxins. And make no mistake, many of them perform very useful functions in our lives in terms of being able to increase and enhance our quality of life. But the downside there is that if they're not handled properly, they can cause a toxic reaction within your own body. And we're not talking about things like, you know, the Love Canal, massive chemical exposure necessarily. It's those little incremental exposures day in, day out to things like household cleaning chemicals, preservatives that are added to personal care products that little by little just kind of chip away at the ability of your body to handle stress and conversely increase your stress stack.
Right. And I like that you emphasize the issue of the radiological influences, because they're unseen. Nobody knows that. I mean, they can't feel them, and yet they're there. So can you tell us a little more about that?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that's probably nowadays in this electronic age the most pervasive influence of the toxic influences in our society, because we're almost constantly exposed to Wi-Fi networks, some of the smart detection systems that utility companies are using on the houses use wireless transmittal. But the most pervasive, of course, is our own smartphones. And make no mistake, most of us, myself included, manage our lives on our smartphones. Mm-hmm. But it's that incremental exposure that has been shown via digital thermography that as little as a 15-minute conversation with a smartphone held up to your head next to your ear can cause dangerous temperature changes deep inside the brain. And if that continues over a period of time, it can cause detrimental changes in those tissues that, in a worst case, can lead to brain cancer.
Yeah, that's so amazing. I actually have a wave shield in my phone. When I used to talk on the phone, and I don't do that much, I would notice after 10 minutes actually that my ear area would feel warm, and I knew that couldn't be good. So yeah, there are things you can do about that, but it's everywhere. It's not like, okay, I'll keep my cell phone on speakerphone. It's the towers are everywhere, and our TVs emit microwaves and so on. Isn't that so?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, if you're going to enjoy the conveniences, that's great. But just be aware of the costs, and where possible, where practical, take measures to alleviate the effects. Now, you talked about a wave protector on your phone. I like to tell people, as a minimum, keep the phone on speaker when you're talking to somebody. And if you can't do that, if it's too loud of a surrounding environment, better yet, use a set of wired headphones and a wired microphone so that you can hold that phone away from your body. And minimize your exposure to these devices that emit radiation. Make sure that at night you turn them off when you can, or at the very least, don't be sleeping in the same room that you have all of these electronic devices operating, because over time it will add to your stress stack.
It's such an important point. And my dad was an infertility specialist, and he said, you know, keep those digital clocks away from your bed. And he said women, their menstrual cycles would get messed up if they had those digital screens right by their bed. And so many teenagers, they have their TV and their cell phone and their computer right there by their bed, and people wonder why they're having reproductive irregularities, and he predicted that back in the 80s. So it's a real problem. So you talk about the trigger factor as the final stack on your stress stack. And can you explain that? That's a fascinating concept as well.
Well, you know, I like to explain it like this, Randy. We, and some of us know people like this, people who have been in good health for many years, and then all of a sudden they experience some kind of traumatic event. Maybe it's the death of a spouse or other family member, the loss of a job, or maybe something like an automobile accident. And then all of a sudden their health starts to take a slide. Sometimes it's slow, sometimes it's fast. And people, because in this society and Western society in general, because we think linearly about our health, we look at the last thing that happened and say, oh, well, that must have caused this person's state of ill health, when in actuality, they've been carrying such a high stress load for such a long period of time, typically comprised of these other five blocks of the stress stack, that this becomes the straw that broke the camel's back, the thing that tips them over into ill health. It may be the proximate cause, but it's actually just the last thing that occurs that their body can no longer adapt to, and now they are in the health restoration mode as opposed to the health maintenance mode, because they're dealing with overt illness.
That makes a lot of sense and so important, and that leads us into another concept. And listeners, we will get to some of the solutions here, but these concepts are so important to the catabolic threshold. Can you explain that a bit?
Sure. Well, that goes hand in hand with the trigger factor. It actually is that actual threshold beyond which our body now can no longer maintain itself healthily. And the word catabolic is usually used in the context of breaking down things like nutrients into its component chemicals for use in the body, but it's essentially a destructive process, and that's what's happening here. Once your body crosses that catabolic threshold and it can no longer adapt to the threshold or to the mix of stressors, the body can now starts to manifest destructive processes, which the medical community calls symptoms. And those combination of symptoms usually in conventional medicine wind up being the equivalent of a disease. So it's really that point of no return beyond which you're no longer in good health.
Yeah, so you can suddenly cross that line and become symptomatic, and people assume that it came out of nowhere, but it's cumulative from the stress on their bodies, where the body just can't handle it all anymore. So it makes a lot of sense. You devote a whole chapter to the connection between stress and ill health and our healthcare crisis in our nation. So can you help connect those dots quickly? I know you have so much information in the book, but just a simple overview, if you would.
Sure, absolutely. The high-level overview is this. There is a large and growing body of research that connects the effects of chronic stress to some of the top killers illness-wise in this country. And in Adrenaline Nation, I present that evidence very clearly. One of the most important pieces of information is a display of the leading causes of death in this country. And when you look at how they have developed and essentially have been unchanged over the last half century, you can see very clearly that they're tied to our diet and lifestyle factors in this society, and those diet and lifestyle factors, in turn, as are mentioned and presented in the stress stack, are manifestations of chronic stress. So what we've been able to do in that chapter of Adrenaline Nation is to take the stressors, connect them to the level of chronic stress, and then in turn to the incidence of chronic and degenerative illness in this country that has actually grown over the last half century.
Yeah, that's quite amazing. And our medical system really doesn't know how to handle these chronic cumulative effects of not being able to deal with the high level of stress. So we're coming up on another break, but I do want to talk about the things in our daily life that people don't even realize are major stressors. So I want to talk, can you just quickly outline a couple of them for us?
Okay, sure. We talked about a couple of them: sleep deprivation, driving in traffic. One of the others, cell phone use. Relationships are some of them, and of course our daily food habits. But some of the other things that we look at that are, you know, really kind of incremental, if you will, and really that's been a kind of a highlight of what I try to talk about in Adrenaline Nation, is the incremental effect of all of these. You can't, as I said, pick out just one or two and say, I'm going to deal with that and then I'll be okay, because you won't be. You've got to deal with it holistically and look at them all. So I've mentioned quite a few of them already. I would invite your listeners to pick up the book, and you'll be able to get an extensive explanation and analysis of all the rest of them.
Very good. We're up on our second break, but when we come back, I want to talk about what we can do about all this and why you call our stress response a limited line of credit. It's a fascinating analogy. So listeners, stay tuned. We're talking with Peter McCarthy, author of Adrenaline Nation, who's done an amazing amount of research linking our cumulative stress to most of our health problems and the amazing burden it is on our businesses and our government and our whole nation. So stay tuned.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news. And provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
you're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back to Family First. We're speaking about our Adrenaline Nation and with the author of the new book, Adrenaline Nation, Peter M. McCarthy. And we've been talking about how chronic stress is really the main cause of our health problems. And it's also bankrupting our economy by creating amazing health costs for our businesses and reducing productivity and satisfaction for the workers. So we've been talking about Peter has developed as stress stacks that give us a qualitative analysis of dietary influences, lifestyle influences, our cognitive filter, the prism, the way we interpret the stresses we're under, nutrition gap, toxic influences, and the trigger factor where we might just sail along thinking we're okay, but our stress has been building up and one event may just trigger a whole downslide. And we're talking about the connection between what stress is doing to us individually and our whole healthcare crisis. So, I wanted to move on to how the stress response is like a limited line of credit, Peter. So could you explain that, analogy?
Sure. You know, I thought long and hard about how to explain that, Randy. And as you know, in so many books about stress, many of the authors go into a very clinically oriented definition or description of the stress response, and it's very easy to for people to get their eyes crossed trying to get their minds around the terminology and that kind of thing. And I wanted to create something there that the average person, especially the average business employee, could relate to. And what I was trying to emphasize with that concept is that just like our bank account or our credit card, where we have a definite balance beyond which we can't go in our checking account, or a definite credit limit beyond which we can't go with our credit card without having adverse consequences, the same thing applies with the body's stress response. We only have a finite energy bank, and it's determined by the food we eat, how our metabolic processes operate, and how efficiently we can get that raw material that helps us produce energy in our bodies to our cells. And if we continually overstress our bodies and overtax that energy reserve, it's very much like breaking the bank with our checking account or exceeding our credit limit with a credit card. Bad things are going to happen, and in this case, it'll be bad things to our health.
For sure. So what are the three major phases of chronic stress, and how do we recognize them individually?
Well, Hans Selye does a great job of breaking that down, and the three phases are the alarm phase, the resistance phase, and the exhaustion phase, and we'll talk briefly about each. The alarm phase is actually what happens, for example, when you stop short behind the car in front of you in traffic. You know, your heart rate goes up, your blood pressure goes up, maybe your breathing accelerates, you're like, whew, I'm glad I didn't hit that bumper. But then your body returns somewhat to normal. It's when we get into chronic stress, where we have stressors all around us, that we get into the resistance phase. And many, if not most people in our society, live in the resistance phase our entire lives. We start to experience things like chronic blood pressure increases, maybe headaches, psychosomatic changes like reduced emotional margin, meaning we become snappish at people, or depression or anxiety. Actually, physiologically, interestingly enough, is one of the most dramatic changes that occurs. The adrenal glands, in an attempt to adapt to that chronic stress, can grow to 3 times their normal size. And think about that for a minute. Your adrenal glands are about the size of your thumb. Think about what your thumb would look like if it was 3 times its normal size. But, you know, just like a sprinter who normally runs a 100-yard dash and maybe now being asked to run a mile, eventually your body is going to run out of gas, and that's when you descend into the exhaustion phase. And that's when you, for example, can't get enough rest. You get up in the morning and you just don't feel like you've slept at all. And in fact, you may have awakened several times throughout the night. You start to develop dark circles under your eyes, and you have to reach for that caffeine, that sugary soda or sticky bun, because that's what you need to quote unquote keep going. And it actually, you're beating the dead horse of your exhausted body trying to get through the day.
Yes, that, and so many people are in that place, Peter. I love the fact that you spend a good deal of time in the book explaining how stress in our society affects men and women differently, but it still affects their health and in physical and mental ways. And you talk about the head in the sand versus the climbing the sand dune. So can you briefly explain those differences?
Sure. And, you know, I wanted to offer some generally accepted observations about the different genders and how they react to stress. Men typically tend to ignore the manifestations of chronic stress, thinking, I can handle it. And that's a product of our social conditioning. You know, we've been conditioned to try to plow through adversity as males, to ignore those obstacles or to power through them or over them. And the same thing goes with our state of health. So frequently, all too frequently in corporate America, men wind up going to the healthcare professional at a point far beyond when that health concern could have been effectively addressed at an earlier point, and now it becomes not only more disruptive to their lives, but more expensive. Women, on the other hand, have a tendency to try to multitask. I mean, how many times have we heard the phrase supermom? And, you know, they're trying to balance a career and maybe sometimes more than one career, and child raising and family responsibilities and dealing with the husband, and the list goes on. And they get to the point where they overwhelm their own bodies to where it's like climbing a sand dune, or trying to climb a sand dune, where you make a few feet worth of progress up the sand dune, but then start sliding back down. And each time that slide becomes more noticeable and more profound, to where eventually, and it's usually after they go through menopause, they have no reserves left, and they're precariously on the edge of serious illness.
I've encountered so many women that are in that position. They say they don't have time to address their stress levels, and they just keep piling it on. It's really scary. So let's move on to how we create change. You devote a whole chapter to the process of change and what it means and how important it is to mastering stress. So can you explain a bit about that whole process of changing our mindset and our lifestyle?
Well, you know, I fortunately had some great research support in that regard. Doctors Prochaska and DiClemente created what's called the trans-theoretical model that actually lays out the entire process of change from the initial point of, gee, I don't think I have anything wrong with me, I can deal with this just fine, all the way up to having implemented a change program and now what you have to go through to maintain those healthful changes. But even more importantly, I've outlined in Adrenaline Nation some of the counter-conditioning factors to change. And they are things that many of us consider to be normal in this society. Our food supply, our health care system, our government regulatory agencies like the FDA are some of the few that I talk about in detail in the chapter on change that really do negatively impact or hinder our ability to make changes in our society. And probably one of the most important is that within our healthcare system, stress is functionally invisible. You know, we either have an organ system that works or it doesn't. You know, we either have a disease or we don't, and there's nothing in between. And I think that's really a yawning gap in the capability of our healthcare system to be able to address the problem of chronic stress. So I wanted people to understand very clearly what those hindering factors are, but also to empower them with information so that they can make meaningful change.
that's such an important concept, that stress response is the connection between all the things that we take for granted in modern living and our declining health, our chronic health problems. So what are the three key personal solutions to mastering stress that we can share with our listeners?
Well, you know, I've shared some of them already, actually all of them. First of all, minimize or avoid the dietary influences, especially caffeine. I call that one the so-called big kahuna of the dietary influences because it's so pervasive. The more that you can minimize or avoid consumption of those, the less that component of your stress stack is going to be. The second is don't skimp on your sleep, please. And the easiest way to do that is when you go to bed at night, first of all, set a bedtime, preferably at or before 10 o'clock, and turn off the TV, turn off the video games, turn off the computer, and the cell phone, and go to sleep. And so that way you minimize the need for you to get up the next morning tired and having to reach for that caffeine or that sugar or that white flour food. And the third one is to minimize your exposure to those electronic devices, especially the cell phone. And as I've mentioned, use a set of wired headphones, or as a minimum, hold it away from your body or lay it on a table when you're talking, so that you don't have that continual radiation exposure from your cell phone. And you mentioned, Randy, that you use a cover that filters the radiation, and that's a great thing to do also.
Yeah, you can find them on the internet. And we just have a couple minutes left, Peter. I want to make sure people can know how to get a copy of Adrenaline Nation. And we've just touched on the wonderful concepts and subjects in the book. So can you give your website and any other information you'd like them to have?
Absolutely. First of all, you can find the book on Amazon.com. And I invite people to read some of the wonderful interviews that some of my fellow healthcare professionals have given the book. Also, you can find it in Barnes & Noble. And it's available in both Kindle and Nook format. My own website is petermccarthy.com, and that's spelled with two M's and two C's, petermccarthy.com. I have a video series running called Stress-Free Summer. That's got a lot of good tips on how to alleviate your stress and enjoy the rest of your summer. Also, if you'd like to join my online community and be able to download your own free stress assessment, you can go to adrenaline-nation.com. That's adrenaline-nation.com. And with one of my promotional partners, I also have an exciting promotion. When you buy a copy of the book and you register it, you'll get sent a free health supplement called Calm that'll help you relax and de-stress a little better.
Awesome. Those are great offers. Thank you for offering them to our Family First listeners. And thank you so much for being our guest today. There's so much information. We didn't even get to talk about, you know, your wonderful recommendations for what government and states and local municipalities can do to encourage people to deal with the stress at the grassroots level and at the top of, you know, in our top government halls. So thanks again for being my guest, Peter, and great information. So have stressless Labor Day.
Thank you, Randy. It was a pleasure to be on the show with you. Really enjoyed it.
And listeners, you can recommend this to your friends. They can get back on the website and listen anytime. This is well worth telling everybody about.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, to host Ralph on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.